This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. A big blizzard is bringing a mountain of snow to the peaks of Northern California and Nevada. CBS News correspondent Carter Evans is in Truckee, California, where the snow is falling and the wind howling.
They're hunkering down in the mountains spanning California and Nevada, prepared to be buried in up to 12 feet of snow this weekend. This behemoth of a blizzard has already produced wind gusts topping 145 miles per hour. And with snow predicted to fall up to 5 inches an hour, emergency responders are dealing with dangerous whiteout conditions.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says a wildfire in the state's panhandle has destroyed as many as 500 structures.
The largest fire in the history of the state of Texas cut a path so large that it exceeds the size of some states in our country.
President Biden announced more aid for Palestinians in Gaza as the Israel-Hamas war shows no signs of slowing.
The loss of life is heartbreaking. People are so desperate that innocent people got caught in a terrible war, unable to feed their families, and you saw the response when they tried to get aided. And we need to do more, and the United States will do more. In the coming days, we're going to join with our friends in Jordan and others are providing airdrops of additional food and supplies.
CVS and Walgreens announced they'll start selling the abortion pill mifepristone in some states. A new study finds a change in the way abortions are performed after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade.
The hashtag WeCount report finds that there were more abortions in the spring months of 2023 than there were in the same period in the year leading up to the ban. It also finds that abortion pill prescribers via telemedicine now account for about 1 in 6 abortions. Dr. Allison Norris at Ohio State University says if the Supreme Court affirms a lower court ruling restricting access to the abortion pill,
it would be a real blow to disrupt that system through any kind of extra regulation.
Norris says abortion bans have a disastrous impact on those who already have the least access. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
Three astronauts and a cosmonaut are said to launch to the International Space Station tonight. Dr. Michael Barrett is one of the astronauts who will be on board the Crew Dragon spacecraft.
It's a great little spaceship. It is what you would expect as a point along an evolutionary curve as we develop new generation spacecraft.
This is Barrett's third mission to space. He says he enjoys mentoring his crewmates. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Vehicles have overtaken power plants as America's biggest source of carbon emissions. In Wisconsin, the push for electric buses is accelerating. Mike Moan reports.
The city of Racine has made headlines in recent years for leveraging federal funds to add more electric buses operated by its transit agency. And through the bipartisan infrastructure law, school systems like the Palmyra Eagle District have used federal grants to buy a handful of buses fitted with such technology. Susan Mudd is with the Environmental Law and Policy Center, a Midwest-based advocacy group. She says it's encouraging to see this activity, knowing the benefits that come with it.
The children or the riders on buses, including the drivers, will experience zero tailpipe emissions, which they now do because fumes, unfortunately, often get recirculated into buses.
These models also prevent harmful emissions from floating through neighborhoods, especially when buses are idled. Mudd says this has a positive effect on human health, as well as mitigating climate change, with transportation making up nearly 30% of U.S. carbon emissions. But even with federal support, she acknowledges there are still upfront cost barriers in securing electric buses. Mudd adds that implementing charging stations for larger electric bus fleets can be more intensive than infrastructure for passenger models.
It definitely requires more equipment, may require transformer upgrades, and that is more costly.
Organizations like hers are appealing to utilities to help make this infrastructure more accessible to schools and transit agencies. In late 2022, Wisconsin received more than $25 million in federal support to replace 65 diesel school buses around the state with electric ones. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs near 60 degrees, partly cloudy, breezy tonight, 44. Sunday, winds gust to around 40 out of the south, bringing our high temperatures to near 70 degrees. An afternoon shower is possible, and rain possible Sunday night, 35.
Right now, 31 degrees.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut it,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
Hey, Kadagi, Weena, all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Not only is that true, I always like to hear once a day that I'm right, so I appreciate that, Haley.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Thanks. Hey, we got Wendy, and Wendy's checking in. Wendy, where are you at?
I am here. I'm just incognito today, as I had a day of leisure here, and I didn't have time to go to the makeup mirror and make myself pretty today.
You're always pretty and happy. Oh. Yes, everybody knows that. But glad to have you on. And we'll have a shortened version of our sacred animal section coming up next. And we'll also have Bob Blake from Red Lake. As you know, Haley and Wendy, I always like to say that.
Love it. Love Bob.
And Bob Blake's from Red Lake, but it's Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're going to have him on for a while. But hey, Haley, there's some things going around Turtle Island and the area. You got some updates of what's happening around?
Yeah, I sure do. Well, I want to bring this one up right away. So this is a post here from one of our great sponsors, the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition. We have an Indian boarding school survivor healing circle in Minneapolis this evening, Tuesday, February 20th. Again, this will be going on from 6 to 9. So right after you're done listening to Native Roots Radio, I'll get over to All Nations Indian Church out there in Minneapolis for the Indian Boarding School Survivor Healing Circle.
Nice. And then, Wendy, we were talking about, and maybe Haley, you can help us too a little bit. We were talking about the show, the fashion show that Jaleesa and Wendy went to.
Oh, yeah. With the fashion designer, I think we were trying to remember her name yesterday. It was Amber Buckinaga.
Yes.
Yeah, she was in Fashion Week here in New York City and had, models model her latest fashions. And it was really something else to see. And then, Rob, you know, we were saying yesterday that Robert and I went to see the play Between Two Knees, and it just seems that that this wonderful thing of, you know, Native American awareness is shining through in all kind of all different aspects. So it's really fun to see that.
Right. And I wonder, too, I feel like maybe a lot of the plays, and, you know, we talk about kind of like hard subjects that are a lot of our elders that have gone through boarding schools. And, you know, it's just a good thing to put that history out there, because, again, our history books in school didn't talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we were brought up with these stories, but a lot of our white allies and just people across the world don't really understand the erasure that has been going on for 500 years of Native Americans. And we always say we're still here, and we're such a small percentage of people here. We need our allies as much as ever. And so it's fun. And also, it was fun watching the play with all that knowledge, because I think, Wendy, I don't know, do you believe, I feel like they put in a lot of history.
They did put a lot of history. Yes, they sure did. Wounded Knee, Trail of Two Tears. I can't think of off the top of my head. I'd have to read it. But yeah, they went through like the whole history in 2 hours, and it was really, you know, something else. And they did it in a fun, lighthearted way.
Yeah, that reminds me too. I don't know if you know this is coming up, Wendy. I know Haley and I have been talking about it, but there's a play coming in town from New Native Theater sponsoring it, and it's called Bear Grease, which is a takeoff from the famously movie Grease.
Wow.
Yeah,
that one should be good. I'm excited to see that one. I think there's only 6 days that they're doing that performance.
Yeah, I don't know, but get out there. This sounds like there's going to be a lot going on. There's different nights that are going to be promoting certain things, like there's going to be an auntie night. There's going to be a dress-up night. So they got some things tied in with the performance itself. So they're, what I like to say, they're breaking that fourth wall and letting the audience join in some aspects of this.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah, I can't wait for that as well. Another thing I want to mention here before we go to break, we have NAC, Native American Community Clinic, one of our great sponsors with Dr. Anthony Stately. They are doing something new that I saw today. This is their wellness breakfast. They're saying join us for a free healthy breakfast catered by Minneapolis American Indians Gatherings Cafe and discussion on health and wellness. Everyone is welcome. And this happens the fourth Thursday of every month from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. And it happens, let's see, this will take place at the Many Rivers East building out there on East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis.
Wow, that would be a fun one to go to maybe next week if they have it again. Because I'll be coming back to the cities here and then boogieing over to Madison for the State of the Native Nations that'll be at the Capitol on Thursday. And well, I'll be doing the show from Madison again and hightailing it back to the Twin Cities and making Haley nervous to make sure my my headsets and record and everything works.
Oh, well, did they put the signs up for the Ho-Chunk? What was it? The Ho-Chunk Code Talkers Memorial Highway.
They're okayed it. And one of the things that they're working on now is what the verbiage of the Ho-Chunk and the English version, and there's still a few things that have to be ironed out. I know the state is allowing like 80 signs, but after that, it's pretty expensive to put the Ho-Chunk verbiage of what town it is and what it is in Ho-Hawk. So the definitions of the cities and towns that they're going to be in. But sure, Everywhere is Indian land, and everywhere is Ho-Chunk land, as we know from our the book Banish Forever. You know, we're here, and you know, we've been here for 10,000 years, and we're looking for some recognition so people don't erase us here in Minnesota too.
Yeah. Well, since we are on the topic of NAC in the previous event there that I shared, I want to share that they are doing another full moon ceremony this week, Friday, February 23rd at 6 p.m. at Little Earth Gym. You know, again, everyone is welcome. If you're going to show up, please wear a long skirt or a shawl. And it is a potluck, so please bring a dish to share if you are able. And there will be feast bundles as well.
Nice, very nice. So, Native American Community Clinic is just all over the community in a good way and in a healthy way, and bringing back a lot of traditions that maybe our young ones or people like me that were banished from our tribe don't know. So, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Up next, we'll have Wendy checking in. I know she's got some sacred animal stuff to talk about.
Ooh.
Yeah. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh, wow.
This is 93.5 The Tap. The Todd Alba Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Want to thank our previous guest, Bob Bonadour from the Milwaukee Planetarium. He's so knowledgeable and obviously loves what he does.
Yeah, because he gets to talk about space all the time. I'm not kidding you. I have watched videos about space and have started to cry. It's so flippin' beautiful to me.
Well, we found your birds.
Yes.
We have found your birds.
Space is my birds.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okizi, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, running now until April 13th at 1414 East Franklin Avenue, Minneapolis.
Yes, it is. And hey, we got Wendy here. I coerced her in doing another segment here in New York. And Wendy, what do you got for us today? I know Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she's been bringing stuff to Native Roots Radio and all over across Turtle Island for many years about our relatives, our sacred animals. And Wendy, take it away.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that. So, Robert, you know, when we have our phone on and we land in New York, New York kind of finds us on our phone, right? We get all these updates about Broadway shows and what's happening in New York City and what's going on and that this and that. On my phone, I get that, but I also get what's going on in the shelter world here in New York. So I see a lot of, you know, dogs for, you know, up for adoption and to visit your local shelter here in New York. And they're all full, like they're all full, and they all have so many dogs in it. I talk about the Minneapolis Care and Control a lot in Minneapolis, and they're always having good events, and they do sometimes waive adoption-y money so that you can get the dog at a really good price. Because there are so many dogs. But this article that I have here, adopting a shelter dog, did come from one of the shelters here in New York. And they have a lot of really good information about what's the first steps to do when you get your dog. right? And this I would say could also go for cats as well. So, you know, they say here, they want you to head straight home. You might want to be excited and go to the nearest pet store to pick up a lot of supplies, or you might want to go down to the dog park to show your new pup off. But they say the best thing to do is just go straight home and let both of you settle in. It's really hard on the animal. The dog doesn't know what's going on, where they're going. They don't know who you are. They have to get to know you. So the best thing is to do is to go straight home. Don't even stop through the drive-thru and get a pup cup. Just go home. And then the second thing is that's really important is watch your dog closely. You want to close the doors to the bedrooms and use baby gates to prevent your dog from having access to the whole house during the first week at home. This will help you figure out what your new dog already knows and what you both need to work on. Always use a leash outside, even if you have a fenced yard. A leash helps until you're sure your dogs won't escape. And I would just suggest, like, go around your fence and make sure there aren't any holes or spaces that they can get through. And honestly, I wish I knew this, Robert, when we adopted our three dogs, because we do have a fenced yard, and I did go around and secure all the little spaces that they even, they possibly could have went through. But we did let them out without the leashes. And you know what they did? They went and they hid in the bushes, and we couldn't get them out. They didn't know that we were their people. So we were out there calling the dogs and looking for them. And we had to literally drag them out from under the bushes. So go out there and use the leash, even if your yard is fenced in.
You know what else we found out?
Yeah. That
three dogs is a lot more than two.
We did. Robert, well, you're the one who said, well, you know, we had two dogs always. What's another one? What's the difference between two and three? And yeah. It was a lot. It was a lot. Yeah. Number three, reward good behavior. Give your dog lots of praise, treats, or offer toys when your dog does good things, like sit quietly next to you, comes when you call them, goes potty outside. So dogs want to please their people. So when they're doing something good, you know, let them know it by rewarding that. And, you know, give it time. As much as you want to hit the ground running with your new pet, your dog needs time to decompress from a stressful shelter life. It takes some time for your new pup to get the hang of your home and to learn about, you want to learn about your dog's likes and dislikes. And I also want to say this, I want to add this, because I've had dogs practically my whole life. I mean, there's been times when I didn't have a dog, but you know, they get used to your routine. Like a lot of people will say, like, well, I work odd hours, or I like to sleep in the morning, or, you know, I'm a night owl, or, you know, the dog won't fit into my life. But dogs will kind of just, at least the dogs I've known and the dogs that I've had, they kind of just do what you do, you know? I mean, Wanda, since I've retired, I'm telling you, she's really gotten into my routine. Like, I like to stay up late and watch TV. She stays up late with me. And I like to sleep in the morning. So, you know, she knows, like, okay, we're going to sleep in and we'll get up at 10 and then go out. So, you know, she just goes with the flow.
Where's Wanda now?
She's in the studio here. I'm in the studio WC here in New York, and she's on the floor. We have a little rug here, and she bundled it all up. She jumbled it all up, and she made a little bed for herself, and she's sleeping right at my feet. Yeah. Oh. So the last thing they say here is do slow introductions. So if you have another dog, if you have another cat, if you have other animals in the house, take your time with your new dog and the other dogs or cats. You want to set everything up for success, so don't rush it. And give them time. So, I mean, that even goes for cats. You know, cats need time to decompress. You know, it usually takes 3 days for them to decompress from the shelter. It takes 3 weeks for them to learn your routine. And it takes up to 3 months to start to feel at home and secure. So
wow. Remember Princess Wen?
I know. We've talked about her so many times on the radio, but it's such a cute little story. Yeah, she hid in my closet for literally, Robert, wasn't it like 3 months? I made a little bed in there.
Wow.
Yeah, so she was in the shelter the longest, and I wanted her. Mm-hmm. And we took her home, and she was just a very, very nervous cat. So she just found a little spot in the corner of my closet in our bedroom, and she would just stay there, really, and she didn't come out. When we were gone, she would come out. We never saw her really. She would mm-hmm. use the kitty litter. We knew that. And she would eat food, but you know, I put a little bed in there. But Robert, you would be playing with, you know, our other cats and the dogs outside in the living room. And she used to like kind of, you know, walk around really slowly and like, you know, look around the corner to see like what was happening, what's going on. And, you know, she saw, you know, how gentle you were and how nice you spoke to the animals. And little by little, you know, Robert kept enticing her and calling her and getting down on the floor and going, you know, you know, making the kitty cat sounds. And eventually she just came up to you and you would pet her and you went really slow with her. And she really, you know, changed. Like she was a different cat from the time we met her and took her home from the shelter. 6 months later, she was definitely a different cat. It was like night and day, her personality. And another thing it's important to remember is that the personality that you see the dog with at the shelter isn't really their real personality. You know, they're right. stressed out, they're in a strange place, there's lots of noises, there's a lot of barking going on. So if you see the dog really quiet and shy and maybe in the corner, that's just, you know, the stress of the shelter. And once you bring the animal home and they feel safe, once they feel safe and they know that, you know, they're not going to get hurt and they're being taken care of, you'll see their personality just blossom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we didn't know that about the cat, and we were really confused when we had the three new dogs because they'd be in different directions hiding. I lost a dog and it ended up at our bathroom door closes and Wanda was locked into the upstairs bathroom.
Yeah, she went in there and the door closed behind her. Mm-hmm.
And you were at work and I was going, I'm going to get killed here. I lost one of the dogs.
No.
Wendy's going to come. That happened too when I was I was gone sometime. I don't know. Something happened. You had somebody over and yeah. they left the porch door open and the cats got out.
Yeah, they were like going up the tree, our neighbor's tree, which they have never done since and never did before.
Yeah. Well, keep everything secure because, you know, and honestly, dogs who are just newly adopted go missing a lot because they're nervous and they find a way out and they don't know what's happening and they just run and they escape and they're so hard to get back because they don't know who their person is. Mm-hmm. So just keep an eye on them, get them tagged. Get one of those GPS trackers. I have one on Wanda. You can track them on your phone. Make sure they have a tag on with their name and phone numbers.
Mm-hmm. Well, great job, Wendy. As always, really appreciate you. We got Bob Blake coming up next, and I know you're going to be making dinner, so you'll be off the air now, but I appreciate it. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and a big peeny geegy to Wendy and our sacred animal section.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News Brief. A blizzard in Northern California and Nevada could deliver as much as 12 feet of snow. Avalanches are likely. Weather Channel meteorologist Jackie Jarrus.
It is going to be brutal with feels like temperatures in the 40s below zero at times. This is dangerous. You could get frostbite in less than 30 minutes.
The largest wildfire in Texas history has burned down as many as 500 structures. Victoria Cook lost her barn.
Even people who just reached out and said, we're thinking of you, we're praying for you, we're just very grateful.
President Biden announced operations to airdrop food to Palestinians in Gaza will soon get underway. CBS's David Martin reports they won't solve the crisis.
A former assistant administrator of USAID told CBS News each airdrop can deliver about 2 truckloads of relief supplies, while the people of Gaza need 500 to 1,000 truckloads every day.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
More changes for the Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, where college players have been undergoing physicals and doing drills, except for USC quarterback Caleb Williams, who is expected to be the first pick by the Bears. Williams says, why share that information with other teams when you're number one overall? Meanwhile, the Milwaukee Journal reports that the Packers have asked the agent of running back Aaron Jones to agree to a restructured contract or possibly face being released in a couple of weeks. Running back A.J. Dillon is not expected to return and will become a free agent. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst.
Overall, I think our team is in good shape. I think we have a very strong roster, but you know, nothing's set in stone in this league, and we're going to bring in as many guys as we can to be competitive. And I would imagine that our roster will look a lot different than it did last year, like it always does from year to year. And we're excited about that.
As Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs near 60 degrees. Partly cloudy, breezy tonight, 44. Sunday, winds gust to around 40 out of the south, bringing our high temperatures to near 70 degrees. An afternoon shower is possible, and rain possible Sunday night, 35.
Right now, it's 28.
The Todd Alba Show.
I'm Trygve Olsen. Steven from Green Bay. Go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in, goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we are here with Bob Blake from Red Lake, Robert Blake, the owner of Solar Bear. And he always brings us great news with the Solar Bear, with the solar news. Welcome, Bob, as always.
Hey, how you doing, Robert? How's it going?
Going good. I'm out here in New York enjoying the same weather you guys are having there in Minnesota.
Oh, hey, forget about it.
Huh? Forget about it, right.
Forget about it. Hey, you're out there in New York. Hey, how is the, now, I mean, New York is just getting walloped. I mean, the East Coast, right, by a lot of this crazy weather.
Well, you know what? They haven't had weather in the last 2 years, and now they're kind of having normal weather. Like, it's been 700 days since the city had any snow or precipitation. And so it's kind of natural now. People aren't used to that. So it's kind of the reverse of what we're doing and going through with us in the Twin Cities, at least in the five-state area in the upper Midwest, is that last year we had the third largest snowfall in history, and now we have none. And now New York and the surrounding areas are getting weather, which they haven't had in a long time.
Yeah, you know, Robert, that's a great, great segue into this first story that I wanted to talk about. And it's about the weather. And last year, Robert, just real quickly here on this right here, it says, last year, the degree 1.7 degrees Celsius over pre-industrial times was the average of what it was around the world, and so we're only supposed to be over 1.5 degrees Celsius, right? So we were actually like over the limit in which, you know, the Paris Climate Treaty Agreement said that, you know, we shouldn't be over. Now, the reason why this is interesting is because at 2.0 degrees Celsius over pre-industrial times, they start to, this report says that that's when, like, you know, civilization and collapse happens, right? So, like, reason why I bring this up is because, folks, we're not that far away from things going off the rails, and we really need to take this seriously. This really is like the movie Don't Look Up. Like, you know, when the asteroid is coming at the planet, people are like, nah, that's not real. That's not real. Like, this is serious. So, I think that's pretty interesting. And this is in Popular Science is where the story comes out of, talking about this,
which is oxymoron for Republicans.
Yeah.
But just those two words put together.
Right. And I just think that it's really interesting because, you know, first of all, a lot of the because you know they're talking also about just how incredibly heat and how that affects like the human body and how that's really going to affect like our livestock and the drying, and it's a really good article and it really goes into it. It's really scary too, but I think that I thought that I should probably bring that up because we were talking about it. Another good article that came out here is this is just recently. Minnesota now is rebooting their community solar program with a new focus on lower income residents. And what it is basically, Robert, is essentially the community solar program now is going to just be focused, you know, a lot on, you know, low income residents. Now here's the other thing. This was a bad thing though, is when they got rid of this community solar, when they revamped it from a public utilities commission level, right? There, it kicked out a lot of folks that just signed up for community solar and just wanted to be a part of the program, right? I guess some good things, some bad things here in the way that they recreated the community solar program for the state of Minnesota. I guess there's good things and bad things about this, but kind of feel bad for some of those individuals that, a lot of these community solar gardens now, aren't, I guess, performing to what originally was the intention of this particular, piece of legislation, our program.
What do you mean performing? So is there not a lot of energy going through these solar farms, or they're just not performing in another way?
Well, they're basically saying that that a lot of these community solar folks that signed up for community solar now, they're kind of like kicking them out of the program now, because it's not in line with what came down from the Public Utilities Commission. Now, I'm kind of in disagreement with the PUC on this. I really wanted them to just keep it and leave it alone the way it was, because it was working just fine. But there's the argument here too that the program isn't really necessarily serving those that, I guess it was intended to serve too. So there's an argument for both sides, and I'm a little kind of in the middle on this, and that I think that they probably should have just left the program the way it was.
Interesting.
Yeah. So then last thing here, Xcel Energy proposes a time of use rate for a default option for Minnesota customers. Robert, what this is happening now is, Xcel Energy got approved to do a time of use rate and a program study recently with different neighborhoods, and it's basically, do you want the folks in Eden Prairie paying the same amount that they're paying in Minneapolis? And so they did this program, and they're proposing a time of use rate now after all of the information that they gathered, and they said this is probably the most effective way and the most effective rate that we should charge everyone after the study that we did. So this is being proposed now. I think it's kind of interesting because, in one part, I agree that, maybe the different energy uses of folks in the suburbs might be different than those folks in, say the inner city, and vice versa. So this is going to get a little bit more attention down the road here. And so this is just a proposal right now. This is going to be very interesting to see where this goes.
So where in the suburbs they're using less energy? Is that because the houses are more insulated, or is it vice versa? What is your take on that?
Well, the thing also too, in the suburbs, the homes are bigger, so their energy use is more intensive, is that appropriate to say an individual who lives in an apartment in South Minneapolis? And so they're going to put out this, they're just proposing. This is just a proposal, Robert. But what they did though was they did this study where they basically looked at what folks were using out in suburban areas and into urban areas, and they came up with this metrics and this kind of, blended rate, so to speak, saying this is what we believe that this should be. So they're proposing this rate. And it's going to be interesting to see if this is accepted or not. So this energy is getting very, very particular now with just the way that it's being used and distributed. So, and the utilities are really feeling the pinch from renewables. We got electric vehicles coming online. So there's all of these different types of, ways that I think the utilities are going to try and, figure out, okay, how do we best, support our power lines, our transformers. There's a whole metrics of different things that come into play in the way that, utilities are going to try and figure this out. Because when you think about you're charging your electric vehicle, charging your EV car, it's the equivalent of charging like 300 homes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, it's those kinds of things that they're trying to prepare for. And that's why you see these proposals coming in now with these proposed, rates and what have you.
Wow, that's really interesting too, because nothing's free. And I know when we were talking about houses possibly like built like the year Wendy and our houses, there was, gas was penny cheap. And literally they had ads saying that there was no insulation, there was newspaper insulation, and now we have bigger places that might be insulated more in the suburbs and the inner city.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's part of, why these utilities are trying to figure this out. And so, Robert, we're going to see a lot of these things happening here in the future, I think, through Xcel Energy, through the gas people and all that, to figure out how we're going to be using our energy in the future. And so these proposals are going to be happening more and more, I believe.
Well, we have Bob Blake here with the Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're going to have him come back here for another segment. And we're talking about the solar news and what's happening around Turtle Island. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to hold Bob on for another segment so we can howl together. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Hey, we're here with Bob Blake, the Solar Bear with the Solar News. And Robert, I know you also are CEO of Native Sun, which is a nonprofit organization. So, hey, we're talking about... some things that's I'm sure you can swing now a little bit here in the last segment here, some positive things, because this last segment was a little dark and we're kind of pondering what's happening.
Yeah. Well, I always tell people like I'm sorry about what's happening in the world. It's just the reality we live in. And like I said, it's just like that movie, Don't Look Up. We don't want to know what's happening, but it is happening. But this is a good story, Robert. Norway leads the world in electrical vehicle adoption rates, with 82% of new car sales being electric vehicles in 2023. In contrast, the U.S. saw electric vehicles account for only 7.6% of new car sales last year, as estimated by Kelley Blue Book. So, you know, understand, everyone, that with anything, with any technology, there's going to be, you know, kind of the side things that aren't that great for the environment, right? But I think the thing that I'm trying to say about with solar and electric vehicles is each and every one of these technologies, Robert, is just a solution, right? Like it's not the solution, right? But mm-hmm. it's just another metrics that is just trying to mitigate in lessen our carbon footprint. Because if we continue on the status quo, and that's burning coal for our energy, mm-hmm. emitting carbon in the air, if we continue to, you know, put gas in our vehicles, you know, and burning carbon and putting it in the air, we're going to reach this tipping point of 2.0 degrees Celsius very quickly, and that's going to be very hard for us to come back from, okay? And so, you know, when I talk about electric vehicles, when I talk about solar, I'm just saying that these are two things in our tool belt that we can do, because there's a lot of things, recycling, there's, you know, there's other forms of renewables that we can use, to do policy, you know, there's all these different things that we can do, you know, to that we can help, you know, the planet and whatnot. So I don't intend, everyone, as you're listening to the Solar Bear, that these are the silver bullets. I'm just saying that these are ways that we can lessen our carbon footprint. And that's the big thing that we need mm-hmm. to do now, Robert, because we have the technology here. And that's why this is so important. You see what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Well, and Wendy and I talk about little things that go along with that too, like meatless Mondays and things like that, that really, there's so much water that's involved with feeding these animals and all these things. So it's just a combination of a lot of things is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing is too, is there's nothing wrong with getting a little healthy. Like meatless Mondays is okay. Tofu Tuesdays. Like, I don't really think there's nothing wrong with like giving yourself some, you know, some good health, you know, habits. And like this right here, here's another story, Robert. The United States Postal Service is introducing 50 electric delivery vans and installing 100 EV chargers at its Atlantic Sorting and Delivery Center. Now, this is just another option. You know what I mean? This is just another way that, you know, corporations and other entities can lessen their carbon footprint. And that's what we have to do. Like, it has to be all of us. It has to be all different organizations doing these things, just like the United States Postal Service is doing in this story. So it doesn't mean that, you know, me, Solar Bear, is going to just change it all on my own. You know, it means that it's going to have to be all of us doing our part. And that's really the point that I'm trying to make with the electric vehicles, with the solar, mm-hmm. You know, with like you said, Robert, by the way, I do meatless Mondays on my own.
Right on.
I do meatless Mondays on my own. And I'm telling you, it really is not hard.
There's some school districts around the country, and I think Wendy would know better than I do because we've talked about this, that do go meatless Monday in schools. And that's a big start. And that's a thing that I think we all could mirror, especially here in Minnesota, where we're doing Free lunches and free breakfasts for our students is, you know, I hear that's going gangbusters because they're dealing with a lot of people aren't throwing away their lunches like they used to. They're eating things that they want to, and then they happen to be healthy too.
Yeah, and I would say too, Robert, that, you know, if we could, you know, have our kids, you know, teach them while they're young, you know, the importance of, you know, just healthy eating, you know, will lessen a lot of these diseases, you know.
Right.
And the other point is, you know, that I mean, I'm sorry, but I've seen a lot of these documentaries now on factory farming and whatnot.
Yeah.
And it is really terrible. You know, when you hear the farmers themselves say, I will never feed chickens to my family. I would never. And these are the people that are actually running these factory farming situations.
Mm-hmm.
I think is a pretty good sign that maybe we should rethink what we're putting in our mouth.
Oh, absolutely. I can't remember the documentary. Wendy, what was the name of the documentary that we first watched? Food Inc. Food Inc.
Oh, yeah.
And that was going around the schools, and that was an amazing eye-opener. As a matter of fact, 2 days after Wendy watched Food Inc., she went vegan.
Yeah. Yeah. And
almost 15 years ago, Wendy's been vegan now.
Wow.
Good for you, Wendy.
Yeah, good for you, Wendy. Robert, I remember one of the first times we all went out to eat.
It was after a show.
Yeah, with Wendy, and we went to the
Jay Selby.
Jay Selby's. And it was wonderful. They had the best food there, and you can't even tell.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the point. Like, we can all do this. People, you can save the planet. And as a matter of fact, Robert, I think that we should do something with the show, like, you know, hey, let's all do a Meatless Monday, a Tofu Tuesday or something, some type of campaign. I don't know. I'm just thinking outside the box right now, but I would like to do some type of campaign like that. And then even do something like Run for the Planet or something, you know, and, you know, like do one of these like 5Ks or something and get people involved. And because it's those little things that if we can have people do, those little things build, those little successes build on bigger successes. Right.
Right.
And then I think people feel more empowered.
Right.
And they want to make more of a difference, and they want to take the necessary actions, you know, that are even bigger around climate change. And I think we can all agree that when we do that, we can have a better relationship with one another, with ourselves, a healthier self, and then with the planet is a good thing.
Yeah, it all is one big circle. Bob, thanks for coming on as always. And Meatless Monday and Tofu Tuesday are our next big project. Great to hear from you and see you. If you're listening to this show, you're part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on the sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, and go vegan. We'll see you tomorrow.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm Wendy Gillette. The most powerful blizzard so far this winter is hitting parts of Northern California and Nevada right now. Andrew Schwartz is lead scientist with UC Berkeley's Central Sierra Snow Lab.
We're looking at snowfall totals that could be upwards of 4 to 5 feet in a single day, and that's what makes this one so unique.
As much as 12 feet of snow is possible. CBS News correspondent Carter Evans is in Truckee, California.
This is the last spot truckers can chain up before making the drive up over Donner Summit, and it'll be